greet you in the name of Jesus. Appreciated that meditation. It's good for us to look at what Jesus came to save us from, to think about that consciously, of the change that was possible because of his dying on the cross for us and his love for all of humanity. Whether they have made a commitment to him yet or not, he still has that same love for them and still able to save in the same way continually. Appreciate that. Today we're commemorating the resurrection of Jesus, and I'll just read something on May 4th, 1865, after weeks of his body having been on display in Washington, D.C. and a few other cities. Abraham Lincoln was laid to rest in a cemetery near his home in Springfield, Illinois. But Lincoln didn't rest in peace. In 1876, the following year, there was a plot to raid his grave and steal his body. And I guess this didn't work out, but 11 years later, because of the rumors that his body wasn't in that grave, they decided to open it up, dig him up, and confirm that his body was there. So they did and found his body was there. But the rumors continued, and 14 years after that, the coffin was dug up again. And both times, there were witnesses present there who testified that Lincoln was still in the grave. And in total, apparently, his body was moved 17 times and his coffin was opened 5 times before finally resting in peace 36 years later inside a steel cage under about 2 tons of concrete that were poured about 10 feet over his coffin. So as far as is known, that was the last time that they messed with his grave. So Lincoln is still in his grave, and there were witnesses that were there to testify to that. But our Lord Jesus is not in his grave, and there were witnesses who testified to that as well. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6, you can turn to that if you want. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So there were lots of witnesses that saw Jesus after that testified that he was alive and not in the grave anymore. But this message isn't about whether or not Jesus actually rose or not. That has been proven. For another scripture, well, you can turn with me to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. This is the story of the resurrection here. Thought it would be good for us to just read that account again. Matthew 28, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So here we have the story of him revealing himself to his disciples, first of all, to Mary. And like Brother Daryl mentioned, the disciples, I'm not sure why they had such a hard time understanding that this was actually taking place, that Jesus had risen from the dead. And even the thief understood this before they did. They had listened to all the words of Jesus, but they had a hard time understanding that this was actually literally taking place. Anyway, for our message this morning, we want to look at three of the benefits of his resurrection. We know that there are many things that have changed for us because of his resurrection, but we want to look at three aspects or three benefits. Number one, the benefit of forgiveness of past sins. As we think about the resurrection in relation to our sins, we must recognize that it's only because of the resurrection of Jesus that we can have forgiveness for our past sins. And we have many scriptures that speak about that. Romans 4, verses 23 to 25. Just read that now. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, if we see Jesus as merely dying on the cross and being buried in the tomb, and that's all, if that's all that we see, then there is no hope and no forgiveness for us. And I'm not sure if we would be hearing or if we would be reading much about that if he had only died. It would be like any other great men that had great messages and then they died, and that was all that there was. But because of the resurrection is why we have this continuing living word to encourage us. It is his resurrection that gives us the assurance that Jesus has overcome death and won a great victory for his people. It is only by his overcoming death. It is the resurrection that makes all the difference and makes us right with God. Another illustration or another story. After the Battle of Waterloo in June 1815, all of England was waiting for the news of the outcome of this campaign. The Duke of Wellington had opposed Napoleon Bonaparte in this battle. And we know that this obviously was a long time before telephones, telegraphs, television, any of that type of media. So there was always a delay in news, but the people in England knew that this battle was taking place, had taken place. And so they had the watchers stationed along the coast, ready to see the messages that the ships would bring when they returned. And, you know, ships would put up flags. That's how they sent messages, they'd put flags up. So on this cloudy day, as these ships started coming back, one watcher saw a ship beginning to send a message. The message read, Wellington defeated. And then the fog rolled back in and that couldn't see that ship anymore. So this message was immediately broadcast into the land there in England. And the nation was gripped in discouragement and defeat. It was a discouraging message, Wellington defeated. But it's only hours later the fog lifted again, ships were closer, and then they saw the complete message. It said, Wellington defeated the enemy. So that changed the whole outlook for the people. This is what the message of the people was here, I think, after Jesus was crucified on the cross. They had this same kind of reaction, most of them. I'll read a number of verses here, words of Jesus, teachings of Jesus before his death. The teachings, the words that he spoke to his disciples, those that followed him. Luke, you don't need to turn to these, just short ones. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's an encouraging message that Jesus spoke about himself to his apostles. Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So when speaking about his giving his life a ransom for many, it's also an encouraging, positive note. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. An abundant life. John 4, verse 13. Actually, 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, all of these are words of life and words of encouragement. Jesus gave all these promises, and then he was crucified. So we see how in their not understanding fully, this must have been a dark day for those that gathered around the foot of the cross. It must have been a terrible day. The sun disappeared, everything became dark, and there was an earthquake. Jesus died and was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And the message that rang out to all the world was, Jesus defeated. The disciples were discouraged and defeated. I'm not sure why they forgot those promises, like we said. But anyway, that's not the end of the story. Then 3 days later, on Easter morning, came the resurrection. 3 days after he was buried, he rose. And then the entire message came forth to them. Jesus defeated the enemy. And the disciples rejoiced at this good news. Once they saw him and everything became clear to them, they could rejoice at this complete message that Jesus was not defeated, but Jesus had defeated the enemy. The resurrection was God's stamp of approval. The resurrection was God saying, Jesus, I accept your death as a substitute for all the guilty sinners of the world. This was Jesus, was God's vindication of Jesus' work. We know that Jesus paid the penalty for the sin of all his people. And his tomb would not be empty if his death and resurrection had not been enough for all sin. You know, if his his atonement wasn't enough for completely enough for all sin, his resurrection would not have happened. Or to say it the other way around, his resurrection proves that his death covers or was sufficient for every single sin. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we can be confident that God is still ready and able to continue to forgive sin. That forgiveness is still powerful enough, even though we see such incredible amounts of sin and just multiplying and around everywhere. But that forgiveness is still greater and available. Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way to heaven except through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. His death paid the penalty for sin. His resurrection proved that God accepted his death as a sufficient payment for sin. His resurrection guarantees that God will forgive us our sin if we sincerely and wholeheartedly cry out to him for forgiveness. That is such an amazing gift, still available and so powerful. All right, number two, the second benefit that we'll look at, that is the power for present living. The resurrection of Jesus not only guarantees forgiveness for past sins, but it also guarantees power for our present day daily living. Because Jesus is a living Savior, he is a Savior who is able to empower us to live each day for him as well. As Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Because of Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul affirmed that he had the power for daily living. Praise God, we still have that today. You know, years ago, there was a story. Years ago, there was a missionary in the country of Turkey who was having a hard time getting Muslims to understand why they should believe in Jesus Christ rather than Muhammad. One day while he was traveling with some other Muslims along a road that had no road signs, they got lost. And they came to a fork in the road. They didn't know which way to go because they had no maps of the area. So they didn't know which way to take. And right beside the road, there was a tomb of a Muslim holy man. And while they were standing there trying to decide which road to take, the missionary said, well, let's go over here to this tomb of this Muslim holy man and get a direction there. And the Muslim, his fellow travelers, protested and said, well, he's dead. That he can't give us any information. Let's go over to that house up there and ask someone who's alive. And the missionary says, you're quite right. So never forget Muslim, or never forget Muhammad is dead. He can give you no help or information. In him there is no life. But Jesus Christ is alive, and he will not only give you eternal life if you will trust in him as your Lord and Savior, but he will also empower you for your daily living. It's a good lesson that he gave to them there. It's because of the empty tomb that we can not only find forgiveness, but also we can find the power to victoriously live our daily lives. Let's read a few verses in Hebrews chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is alive, and he is still able and wanting to help us in our time of need, which is every day, basically. Jesus, through his resurrection, is guaranteed that that power that allowed him to rise from the dead and to continue to live today helps us to continue to live today as well. Jesus' resurrection guarantees power for daily living, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the trial, no matter what the hardship. His power enables his people to live lives so that we can say, like the Apostle Paul, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The last point, or the last benefit we'll look at today, is the hope for the future. The resurrection gives forgiveness for past sins, as we saw. It guarantees power for present living, and it also guarantees hope for our future destiny. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we would have no hope for the future. But because of his resurrection, we have hope. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. God hath raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise believers back to life as well. And John 14, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Then it goes on. But we'll stop there. But we have that promise that he is still preparing a place for us. And we know how powerful God was in his creation, originally in the creation, how much he got done in 6 days. We look at what he is preparing for us. We can't help but think he must be almost done, right? He must be almost ready to call his children to that heavenly home. And I think at times we lose sight of that, of how glorious that will be, that he has been preparing this future place for us. And his desire is not to have us continue to struggling here. But his desire is to call us home, but he has more yet to call, and that's why he's delaying, I'm sure. But he must be almost ready to call us, is my personal thought. Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for all those who trust in him with a real, live, vital faith. Someday all those who wholeheartedly believe him and live for him obediently will die and go to live with him in heaven for all eternity. Just one more story here yet. Eric Barker was a missionary who spent many years in Portugal preaching the gospel there. And like often is for missionaries, it was some adverse conditions. But he was there many years. And apparently during World War II, the situation was pretty grave there. It was fighting in the area. So it was pretty dangerous. So he was advised to send his wife and 8 children back to England for their safety. So he did. He sent them along with his sister and her 3 children. They were all evacuated on the same ship. And although his family was forced to leave to go to England, he stayed behind to finish the work before he was going to go join them in England as well. Remember, this was during World War II. Then on the Lord's Day after their departure, he stood up to preach before the congregation. And when he stood up to preach, he said, "I've just received word that all my family arrived home safely." And then he proceeded with the worship service as usual. It wasn't until after the service was over that the full meaning of his words were made clear. Apparently, just before the service started, he had gotten a telegram informing him that a submarine had torpedoed the ship that his family was on and everyone on board drowned. Eric Barker knew their commitment to the Lord. He knew their faith, and so that's why he said they had arrived home safely. He had that trust. That's the trust that we have available to us as well, that we will someday also be able to be home with our Lord, that we could also have the promise to be able to arrive home safely. It is this hope that the resurrection gives to those who know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior. We will also someday be raised back to life in the fullness of this life. We'll also someday find ourselves back home with Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, because of the resurrection, we can know that we can have our sins forgiven. It's also because of the resurrection that we can live in the power of Jesus Christ daily. And it's because of the resurrection that we know that when we die, we have the hope of going home to be with him in glory. Let's bow for prayer. A kind Heavenly Father, we pause before you this glorious Lord's Day. We realize that every Sunday we, in a sense, observe your resurrection and your rising for our life. But on this day especially, we commemorate your power over death, your giving us the power to live our lives daily in victory, and then also for our future life that is available for us, that we have that hope to someday meet you in glory, in eternity. We just thank you so much for your love that you're still extending to us individually as people, and also the people the world over that are still living in sin, that your love is so great that you would have each one to experience that grace, that you died and your sacrifice was sufficient, was enough for every single sin in this world, and that your heart is just breaking for those that are turning against that and turning away from that. Just help us to be strong to the end. Just pray that you would be with your children wherever they are gathering this morning, wherever they are worshiping. Everyone, great suffering in this world, that you would also incline down to your children, as we heard this morning, that we realize that you are such a great God, that each person suffering, that you hear that and you are undertaking for everyone. Just help us now as we go from here this day, that we would ever live our lives for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.